You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM proudly presents Your Health Matters. Your Health Matters is a weekly program featuring interviews with local and national physicians and medical educators about relevant health issues. This program is intended for general information purposes only. It is not a substitute for medical care. Please discuss this information and any questions with your family physician. And now, here's Dr. Craig Wax.
Welcome to Your Health Matters. I'm your host, local family physician, Dr. Craig Wax, talking about something most people have experienced. The doctor prescribes you the medication, you agree to take the medication, you go to the pharmacy that has the medication, but the pharmacist can't dispense the medication. So today is called a Why Can't I Have My Medicine? And our special guest today is a doctorate of pharmacy, or a PharmD, if you will, from the southeastern United States. Her name is Dr. S. We're using her initial to keep her privacy because she'll be sharing some information today that may be very useful to both patients and physicians alike. Welcome, Dr. S.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Appreciate you spending time with us today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and training in general in becoming a PharmD and the kinds of jobs that you've worked that brought you to knowledge about this information as to why I can't have my medicine?
Sure. I went to school in Chicago for pharmacy school. And I started my early career as a clinical pharmacist. So I worked in a few hospitals, and I got the pleasure of working actually at the Indian Health Service. So I got to see a lot with healthcare disparities and, you know, a lot of issues that most of the population experiences. From there, I've done a lot of contracts with health insurance companies. Primarily Medicare, and really it's positions that are behind closed doors. So what are pharmacists and technicians and other staff doing when we process these prior authorizations? We call them coverage determinations for the most part. And, you know, how we do it, what we do, what is the thought process behind it, and how those medications come back and get filled for your patients.
Okay. So you're talking about insurance issues. You're talking about PBM or pharmacy benefits manager issues. So we're talking about third parties and fourth parties that, you know, people's information is assigned to. And we're talking about why patients can't have their medicine. So if you could tell us a little bit about coverage determinations, because things operate at the speed of light, although sometimes they seem rather slow. Person goes to the pharmacy with either a paper prescription or gets an electronic prescription that's sent directly by the doctor or medical facility for them to fill. The pharmacy computer does what instantly?
Basically, the pharmacist at the retail, if you're going to go to your local stores, they're entering information and it goes to the insurance company or a fourth party. And at that point, a message comes back and says, medication rejected. Need more information. Okay, so that message gets relayed to the patient. You can't have your medication, your insurance denied it. The doctor gets alerted, says, okay, we have an issue here. We need more information in order to process this. We need to process something called a prior authorization or coverage determination. Okay, so what I'd like to do is give an example of a medication that a lot of people have used in the past or are currently using A lot of people have high cholesterol, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Lipitor, Crestor, Zocor, very common use. So I'm going to just give you an example. I'm not going to specify any insurance company. For instance, let's say Dr. Wax decides to give one of his patients Crestor. Okay. And the patient goes in to pharmacy. Pharmacist comes back and says, hey, I'm sorry, it's not working. It's rejecting. So Dr. Wax is going to get a message saying, we need more information. You need to fill out a form so that your patient can have it. Now, I'm sure Dr. Wax probably deals with multiple insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance. The list goes on and on. So what exactly does he need to do to fill out a form and what information to get this medication approved? It becomes very confusing and it takes a lot of time. At this point,
Dr. Wax, the doctor filled up for a second because Dr. Wax is seeing other patients at the time. And Dr. Wax makes the assumption that the patient can fill their medication.
Absolutely. And that's a typical scenario. So this Crestor, for instance, one health insurance company will say, okay, you can have that medication if you have failed the absolute highest dose of Lipitor for 90 days. If you haven't failed that dose of medication, you can't have this medication. Or if you have failed three other cholesterol medications. How would I know that as a doctor if I'm not going to spend time to research it and look at everything? It's a tough situation to be in. So now Dr. Wax fills the paper out. It goes back to the insurance company. The insurance company doesn't have the 90 days that this patient got their Lipitor. So now a pharmacy tech from the insurance company is going to try to reach back out to Dr. Wax in his office. We're going on day 3, day 4, day 5. At this point, some patients will just get frustrated and stop. They won't even fill the medication. It's not worth it. They're going back to their pharmacy. Where's my medication? Where's my medication? The pharmacist at the retail levels, I don't know where your medication is. Dr. Wax also is trying to get a hold of somebody at the insurance company or one of his administrative staff, and there's a wait time. So the information's not coming back and forth in a timely manner. We've seen studies that talk about abandonment of therapy. So if somebody's not going to get their medication in the first 3 days, they're not going to take it at all. So there's this confusion in how to get these medications filled and what information needs to be filled in order to actually get it.
Right. So that's not an uncommon scenario. For sure. In fact, that's an issue where the patient needs the medicine in a timely fashion, but it's not critical. A case that happened today was we had a patient that had what's called a thrombosis or a large clot form in a vein of the leg. Now, in years past, this used to all be handled in the hospital through the emergency department or directly admitted, but insurance companies have just about completely eliminated direct admissions with this same sort of prior authorization process. So under the circumstances, I could potentially prescribe something at the pharmacy that would be useful, but because the pharmacy is governed by the pharmacy benefits manager or the fourth party for the third party insurance, they wouldn't be able to give it to the patient without a whole big insurance deal. Now, of course, it's Friday afternoon when we're recording this show, so it's not possible to get anything done with the insurance company in that short of time. Meantime, now the patient has to go to the hospital, has to be seen in the emergency department, and is going to have thousands of dollars and many more hours in cost to themselves, to the insurance company, and to the whole system. So you bring up a very good point, Dr. S, with regard to that. And what gives the third and fourth parties any right to stop a patient from getting a medicine? I mean, I know that some things that are generic and cheap, it's cheaper and easier to get without the insurance or using the private pharmacy's individual discount plan versus going to one of the big chain pharmacies. And I'll throw out CVS, which is Caremark, which is Aetna, and a whole conglomerate of things that all work together to may stop people from getting their medicine in a timely fashion. There's Walgreens and Prime Mail. There's, you know, Cigna and Express Scripts. So they're all in cahoots and may prevent patients from getting their medicine. In fact, sometimes I get these requests automatically faxed within minutes after me prescribing it and the patient leaving the office. And the patient doesn't get their medicine and are potentially harmed or at risk for harm. And it may be a generic medication that is hung up in the balance that the patient could actually pay for.
Absolutely. And there is so much confusion because every company has different rules. And it is extremely hard to look and find what rules are out there, what medications are actually covered. Every PBM has something called a preferred drug list or formulary. These are medications that have been evaluated for cost efficacy. And those are really the medications that they want the doctors to prescribe. So once the doctor goes out of that boundary, now you've got the issue of filling out these prior authorizations. However, you're looking at different insurance companies. You have different rules. So no one on earth can memorize what every rule is, what every drug needs, what criteria they need to fill out, and so forth. So now you're looking at basically a system that has so much confusion that nobody really knows what to do.
Yeah, so the patients are kind of caught in the crossfire and they're either denied something that they should be having or potentially now they've got cost aggravation and difficulty, and the doctors are caught up on that, the facilities are caught up in that, the pharmacy is caught up in that, the pharmacist is caught up in that, and I know pharmacists don't like that. They like dispensing medications, having relationships with people that are therapeutic and not dystonic or painful, for sure. So in the last few minutes, can you tell us about how widespread this is in your understanding and opinion? Because you worked on the insurance side, and that's one of the reasons we're, you know, keeping you on the hush-hush, Dr. S.
Well, and I've contracted with different insurance companies. So I have seen it. This is an issue that we have had for years throughout the whole U.S. Primarily, the medications that are affected are considered specialty medications.
But that some insulins keeps evolving. Are considered, if I may interject, some insulins are considered specialty medications, as well as some of the anti-diabetic injectable medicines and pills. Anything that costs more than, say, $10.
Absolutely. Exactly. That, and you actually, you put the words in my mouth. So specialty has such a broad range. We're looking over 50% of medications are in that specialty category. And so you're looking at almost 50% of prescriptions that are coming through that needs some sort of prior authorization from the doctor's office.
Which even some generic medications require prior authorization, which astounds me because they should be generic, rather inexpensive, low risk. But I know sleeping medicines like generic Ambien called Zolpidem requires prior authorization. And there's really no reason for that. If the doctor is willing to write it and the pharmacist is willing to fill it and the database is clear of problems, it should be dispensed instantly.
What they look at, and I can speak from the Medicare side, they've got a list of high-risk medications that are considered high-risk. I do believe that a lot of this has to do with cost. And, you know, it's an ongoing problem for the healthcare in particular. Is our patients actually... At this point, we need transparency. We need to understand, as pharmacists, doctors, our patients, administrative staff, they need to understand what's going on and how to actually, you know, remove those barriers and get these medications out to their patients.
Super. Well, this might be a great place to take a short break, and we'll talk more about, you know, why can't I get my medication? When we return with more of Your Health Matters here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. Welcome back to Your Health Matters. I'm your host, local family physician, Dr. Craig Wax, talking about why can't I have my medicine? I'm here at the pharmacy, the doctor has prescribed it, and all of a sudden I can't have it. Our special guest is Dr. S., who is a PharmD from the southeastern United States who used to work with the insurance industry. So we're trying to keep her identity private, but she's been kind enough to speak with us. Welcome back, Dr. S.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask, before we get into the potential solution for this, can you give us one really stark example of medication being denied when you worked in the industry for the insurance and PBM side?
I received a case that it was for an individual who had end-stage colon cancer. And from the notes that I read, he had 2 to 3 months to live, and they were looking for a particular medication with a prior authorization. And I spent over an hour combing through 35 pages of medical notes to see if I could approve this for this individual. And it broke my heart because, you know, we're looking at 2 or 3 months for this poor man, you know, and it's a quality of life issue. And I was supposed to deny that medication for him because of the cost, and I couldn't do it. So it's things like that, that, you know, personally for me, it's I can't do something like that to it's a human being.
Right. Well, that's why, you know, you really didn't have a good place in the industry, because the industry is looking for professionals that they can use, that they can manipulate with their criteria, their algorithms, if you will, their equations, in order to be able to deny things and save money. But unfortunately, it ceases quality of life for patients, and it can prematurely end patient life. So I commend you on kind of turning state's evidence here and trying to help bring us information. So in the interim, until better tools are available or government passes some law that pre-certifications, prior authorizations, coverage determinations that deny care and harm patients are illegal, what kinds of things would you recommend? Is there a place to go to find some information that might be useful on a case-by-case basis for patients?
There could be. You know, if one were to look online with the name of the insurance company and the name of the medication, if you would type that in and simply write prior authorization, you may be able to find the information that you're looking for. For most of people, populations that, you know, that are not in the healthcare industry, it's going to be a little bit harder to understand. That is a way to get through. There's a lot of policies. There's a lot of information online on their websites. It is time consuming. Time equals money. Time equals money for providers, doctors. I apologize. And so that is a solution for the short term.
Okay.
We need transparency again.
Yeah. In a previous phone call, we had discussed that each insurance website is supposed to have all this information listed there. Of course, it's cryptic and backwards, upside down, and you can only see it at night, but it's literally supposed to be there.
It is supposed to be there. It is hard to find. It is absolutely hard to find. It's actually easier to look at the words off of, you know, a search database, you know, for instance, Aetna, Crestor, prior authorization, you put those three words in, it'll pop up. But if you actually go on the Aetna website and try to find it, best of luck.
Right.
It's a different,
hopefully there'll be some better tools developed to help deal with this sort of thing. But, it's interesting because there's a movement among physicians and pharmacists and lay folks also called Free to Care. So if a person would be willing to go to free2, and then the word care.org, you'll see a paper that, you know, that I was a co-author on, and I helped edit the paper, with regard to showing transparency like you're talking about, where the patient gets to see the costs, and that's just part of the transaction, and that third parties aren't as involved in making those determinations, as well as fourth parties who are kind of their henchmen, who are paid to do things to prevent people from getting their medications and their treatments because they can be expensive. So is there anything else you'd recommend in the wrap up here as to how patients can get their medication if they're standing at the pharmacy with the disease process and they're trying to get their medicine and the pharmacist says, I'm sorry that your insurance company won't allow you to have it even?
Well, at this point, you know, call the insurance company. I realize as patients, it's frustrating. They don't want to spend all this extra time and see if you can understand what's going on. They do actually have, I believe there's a prior authorization line, and you can specify your plan, the name of the medication, and someone can actually assist you and help you in understanding how to get that medication. And you can actually request for them to send something to your doctor as well. So it's definitely a time-consuming scenario, and it's something that most people don't know. But we need to start with having that basic understanding of what happens and why it happens. And then we can progress. And I do think that there may be a solution, hopefully, in the short term here.
I hope so. Anyway, thank you, Dr. S. Obviously, you can't share your contact information because of your anonymity, but we have respect and appreciate your time and effort in sharing about coverage determinations, pre-certifications, prior authorizations, and why can't I get my medication? Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For this and more information, you can go to healthisnumberone.com, spelled in words, health, isnumberone.com. You can Twitter with us at the @ Dr. Craig Wax, DrCraigWax. Also Instagram at the same tag, and Parler as well at Dr. Craig Wax for lots of healthy information. Of course, you can always follow up with our award-winning station at RowanRadio.com. That'll wrap it up for another edition of Your Health Matters. We'll be back next time with another great guest on another professional topic right here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM.
You've been listening to Your Health Matters. This program is intended for general information purposes only. It is not a substitute for medical care. Please discuss this information and any questions with your family physician. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. for another edition of Your Health Matters on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM.